Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Joining us on the line is Tali Nate, founder and director of the Johannesburg Holocaust and Genocide Center. Tali, a very good morning to you and thanks for taking the time to speak to us. How are you?
Good morning, Howard and all the listeners. Thank you very much for contacting me on this very important day.
We've been debating with our listeners as the next generation starts coming through, as the Holocaust survivors unfortunately start to diminish in numbers, how do we continue to educate, capture the feeling, the emotion, as well as the vastness and the magnitude of what was the Holocaust? You must grapple with this almost every day in your mission.
Yeah, absolutely. This year and last year, sadly, in South Africa, we lost 12 Holocaust survivors, mainly in Johannesburg, but also in Durban and in Cape Town. And it feels like an end of an era. It's so sad. In February, 24th of February, when Veronica Phillips, a 94-year-old Holocaust survivor from Budapest that survived three concentration camps, including Ravensbrück and Penig and a death march, and was a wonderful educator. She herself was a professor at Wits University of genetics, so brilliant, you know, and passionate. And she exactly believed in what you asked me. She believed that she has to tell the story because the next generation needs to hear his story. She felt so strongly about it. And we were devastated when she passed away, as I said, in February. And we are devastated with each one of the survivors that shared their stories with students, with schools, with groups, with, you know, anyone that was willing to hear, that came to the Johannesburg Holocaust and Genocide Center and the other centers, of course, in South Africa, in Cape Town and Durban. And it is our mission now. Howard, it's you, it's the listeners, it's us at the museum, you know, to educate. It's not only about the memory, it's really now about education, telling the details, the complex details of the Holocaust, that not all Jews perished in Auschwitz, telling about the Holocaust by bullets, you know, in Lithuania, in Latvia, in Eastern Europe.
And then
lastly, I think the young generation needs to make connections and you know, learn lessons from this history. So that is sort of the mission of the survivors, the second generation, third generation, and us as educators. Mm.
What was so interesting is I hadn't thought of it before until I was reading a Jonathan Sacks article, and he spoke about the fact that we call the Holocaust survivors survivors. We don't call them victims because they were genuine, they were survivors, and they so often looked forward for a while, didn't focus on what they had been through until they had built families and carried on establishing, re-establishing lives, and only later on in their lives started or had the strength to look back. Have you seen this in your research as well?
Yes, and I can tell you even a personal story, Howard. You know that I'm a daughter of survivors. So my father, Moses Turner, survived four concentration camps. He was saved by Oskar Schindler, of course, but he did not speak. He did not speak at all until the Eichmann trial that happened in Israel, of course, in 1961. And he only started to speak very little later. And many of the survivors did that. They only spoke many times to the third generation, not even to their kids. They only spoke to their grandchildren because they were victims. They were targeted as victims, but they survived. So the resilience and the strength that it took to rebuild their lives. And for many of them, they lost their first family in the Holocaust. And they had to, you know, remarry, have again children. And how do you do that? You need all the strength to do that. But there were survivors. And our listeners, of course, know Don Kraus, for example, a survivor in Johannesburg that spoke and spoke quite early. So there were those survivors that felt the need to speak early, but I would say a lot of survivors didn't and only started later.
Yes, that's so interesting because I have a friend who grew up in Peru and his parents were both survivors, but they had lost all of their children. And then they re-met after the Holocaust. Both parents had miraculously survived. They went to live in Peru and then they had a new family. And I said to him, how did your parents ever move forward? And he said to me, they didn't. They didn't. Yes. And it was such a powerful thing that, of course, they did, but in many ways, exactly as you said, he said they never spoke about the prior family, the children they had lost. Yeah. It's just such an incredibly painful, unimaginable pain but they still went and had more children and rebuilt a life of some sort. But obviously that damage just remains within all of us, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Art Spiegelman, you know, that wrote Mouse or, you know, Mouse and Mouse 2 that maybe many of the listeners and you, Howard, know. He always spoke about this picture of the child that was murdered hanging, you know, in his parents' living room and how there was a sort of silent competition between this ghost child, he humorously sort of called him, and himself as the new family. And I actually get shivers now that I'm speaking to you about it because it's so, so hard. It's actually impossible. It's impossible. And to think that it was done on such a large scale. So many survivors lost not only parents and siblings and cousins and uncles. My father had only one brother. That's all from a huge family. Mm. No one else survived.
Yeah, my mother talks about growing up.
My
mother used to speak about growing up without cousins. It gave her such joy that we had cousins because she never knew. She didn't have an uncle, an aunt, or a cousin. You know, and when we think about that in terms of our own kids, it's almost impossible to imagine.
Yeah. And for us, the Jewish community here in South Africa, we are so warm. We have these big dinners and big lunches. Mm. You know, we gather in normal times. All right. Now it's COVID, so it's much harder. But in before, you know, and I know that growing up, I called uncles to people that were not related to my father. Mm. There was Uncle Moshe that was with him in the camps. He was not a real uncle because we didn't have that big family.
So how do we pass that on to our kids? Because it does become much more difficult when we don't have those people around us anymore.
It is the challenge, and it's challenge for all museums and education centers. We think about it for years now with such trepidation of how are we going to tell the story and learn the lessons when, you know, ad 120 until 120, but when the last survivor, you know, passed away, what is our duty, what is our sacred duty, I would say, to tell the story? And there is no doubt that the Holocaust is a key event in history, not only in Jewish history. It's a key event in history. We all teach about the French Revolution. We all teach about Rome, even though we're not Romans and not French. And everyone will teach about the Holocaust because it is an unprecedented a case of genocide, you know, of targeted killing of men, women and children, of babies. So I do think that this education will continue, but on an emotional side, a commemoration side, I think it will be the duty of the second, third and fourth generations and generations to come to tell the stories of their families. So Howard, I think for you, it is to tell the story of your mom. You know, and tell it again and again.
Absolutely.
That those names and stories will never be forgotten. Because sadly, Yad Vashem only collected 4 million of the names of the 6 million. We need to try and get all those names, all those stories, all those pictures for generations to come.
Absolutely, and that's where we leave it. Tali Nates, founder and director of the Johannesburg Holocaust and Genocide Center. Just keep doing the critical work that you are doing.